So tonight, I want to start off a whole new limud for Musar for Thursday night. So a whole different limud, and it's based on a Rashi in this week's Parsha, how many different Svarim understand the Rashi, and it's very much related to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk tells us that Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Vayavo Noach Ubana V'ishto Neshevana V'itor Lateva, Mipnei Mehamab. And Noach came and his sons and his wives and the wives of his sons together with him to the Teva because of the waters of the Mabel. So right away Rashi jumps on this. Mipnei Mehamabel. What does that mean? That Hashem told him, Vayomer Hashem Lenoach, a few psukim early, Bo Atavachal Bezchal Ateva Kioscha Rezi Tzadik Lefanei Bedar Azeh. Right? Go into the Teva. And Hashem did everything he did. But when does Noach actually come into the Teva? Mipnei Mehamabel. The Pasuk focus is because of the waters of the Mabel. And Rashi says, Af Noach Mikatni Amonahaya. Even Noach was had a certain lack of emuna. Mamin ve'eno mamin. She'avo Mabel. He believed, but he didn't really believe that the water would come. V'lo nichnas l'teva ad she'dechaku amayim. And he doesn't go into the Teva until the waters push him in. Now, what was the doubt that Noach had? What was the doubt that Noach had? So
that he would really do it.
I never said it, because did Hashem tell him when he told him it's coming today, or it's coming specific day? Hashem told him a mabel was coming, so he saw the water was coming, and he went into the teva. Like, why is it?
So the pasuk says, "Yom Hashem Lenoach, bo atav v'chol beischa lateva, ki oscha reisi tzad glafanei b'dor hazeh." Go in, right? And then it says that Noach did everything. Ah,
because that's what you've been talking about the past 3 weeks. Maybe he thought his tefillos were powerful enough to stop.
Ah, so that's the question. Very good, excellent. There's Svarim HaKadoshim who point out that what does it mean mekatnei emunah? What does it mean that Noach didn't have enough emunah? It meant that he didn't have enough emunah in his tefillos. He didn't have enough emunah in his own tefillos. Because ma'amin ve'eno ma'amin, he believed, but he didn't believe that the mabel would come. V'lo nichnas l'teva, actually the chaku amayim, he didn't go into the teva until the waters pushed him. Some saying here that the question is, did he have enough emunah in what he was able to do? And ultimately, the waters pushed him in because he didn't have enough emunah in his own abilities, in his own tefillos. Meaning, if he had enough emunah, if he wasn't mekatnei emunah, meaning when he had a small emunah, it doesn't mean he had less emunah in Hashem. What does that mean? He talked to God. He heard God's voice, right? Despite what the movie said, it was clear Hashem spoke to him. These weren't visions that he had. Hashem spoke to Noach, right? This is a movie last year about Noach. Forget it, Sam. With Russell Crowe. Forgot. Okay, you didn't see it. Okay. It was on Netflix. I saw it when I was on the elliptical. Right?
It wasn't so accurate.
What?
It wasn't accurate.
I thought he only spoke to Moshe.
What?
That's not true?
No, but it wasn't through visions that he didn't understand. The movie made it through his visions. He didn't understand the visions. He interpreted them wrong. It says, Vayomer Hashem LeNoach, meaning Noach might have been asleep.
Asleep, right.
But Hashem was speaking to him when he was asleep. Right. It was a direct speech, meaning Moshe didn't fall down. Moshe was wide awake. Pal, pal, daber, bo. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Right? So what does it mean to say that Noach mekatnei emunah, he didn't have emunah b'Hashem? It doesn't make any sense. So some tzaddikim explains it means that Noach didn't have enough emunah in himself, in his koach hatfilah. He believed, but he didn't believe that the teva would come. So therefore, lo nichnas l'teva, ad she'dechaku mayim, he didn't go in until the waters pushed him. He was saying, maybe my tefillos worked, maybe my tefillos didn't work. And there's a fundamental difference when a person davens knowing their koach hatfilah versus when a person davens without knowing the koach hatfilah. There's a fundamental difference in terms of believing that your tefillos are real versus knowing that your tefillos are real.
Reading or knowing?
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference, there's a big difference. We know that that's also how some explain in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, when we see that Yitzchak and Rivka don't have a child, right? And they each daven. And what does Rashi tell us? Who does Hashem answer? Lo velo la. It's Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Chaf Aleph that Hashem answers him, and he says, lo him velo la, and not her. Why? She'in dom v'tfilas tzadik ben tzadik l'tfilas tzadik ben rasha l'fikach lo velo la. You can't compare the tefillas of a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, to the tefillas of a tzaddik, the son of a rasha. Right? So Hashem answers Yitzchak and not Rivka. So Mehechatesi, why does that make sense? That shouldn't be. I mean, lahepach. I would say the tefillas of a tzaddik ben rasha. The tzaddik ben rasha clearly started in a different place than the tzaddik ben tzaddik. Why is it so pashut that Hashem answers the tefillah of the tzaddik ben tzaddik as opposed to the tzaddik ben rasha? So some explain a beautiful idea. The difference is the tzaddik ben tzaddik knows tefillah works. He knows it works. I mean, think about Yitzchak Avinu. Right? He was the product of tefillah. He was a miracle child. It was physically impossible for his mother to give birth to him. And his parents kept on davening, and then Hashem said, fine, I give you a child. Right? So that's a pella. But Yitzchak Avinu, a tzaddik ben tzaddik, grows up knowing the kalach tefillah in the way that tzaddik ben rasha doesn't. And some say that was pshat. That qualitatively, Yitzchak tefillah was a different tefillah than Rivka's tefillah. Rivka believed, yeah, I'm supposed to daven to Hashem, I get it, I talk to God, I ask God, God is the source of everything. But Yitzchak saw that Hashem answers tefillahs. Yitzchak was the one, right? Misha anal Avram Avinu Bahar Maria, hu ya'anenu. Right? Misha anal Yitzchak vino kishnokar al gabim mizbech, hu ya'anenu. Yitzchak saw tefillahs come. He was born. Tefillahs that we say every year in Slichos. Avram was answered, Yitzchak was answered. Right? He saw tefillahs real. So too, that's what some explain about Noach. Mikatni amana haya, that Noach was of small faith in his tefillah. Meaning he believed, but he didn't know. Leida ulahamin. Lahamin v'leida, as the Rambam describes. The mitzvah of knowledge of Hashem, belief in Hashem, it's to believe and to know. Belief that brings to a knowledge. And so too, when we talk about tefillah, I think it's one of the major struggles very often that we have is to really understand the true koach tefillah. And when you're davening with an understanding of what the koach tefillah is, it's a different tefillah. It's a different tefillah. In the book Praying with Fire, I don't know if you've ever seen that, by Rabbi Kleinman, he is a great mashal. He is a very good mashal. He is a guy who comes to Springfield, New Jersey. He says, you know, I'm an amateur map reader. I'm an amateur historian. If I read these, I think there's a big treasure in your backyard. You know, the Continental Army came through, the British with some Hessians. And I think that, you know, the Brits were routed here. I think, you know, based upon records that I have, there's a big treasure in your backyard, like worth millions and millions of dollars. You know, I'll help you dig for it if you split half-half. Like, okay, sure. So you dig down 4-3 feet, nothing. You keep going? Keep going. 5 feet, nothing. Keep going? Digging up your backyard? 10 feet, there's nothing. What do?
Put a pool in now. You have a huge hole here.
No, you're right. But do you keep digging? Pashas is not. Okay, buddy, you're Meshuggah, whatever. Let's say a guy comes and says, I lived in Springfield in the 40s and 50s. I know that the guy who lived in this house years ago, no Yarshim, nothing, he had a huge fortune. Huge gold. I saw him. He put it in this backyard. I was watching him out of my window across the street, put it in this yard. It's here. I'm going to dig with you. But I want 50% because I shared it with you. Right? So what happens then when you dig down 10 feet and you don't find it?
No,
do you continue?
Keep
you keep going. You keep going. You keep, why? Because you know it's there. And he says, this affects a person's ability to daven. Do you believe in the koach tefillah? Do you know that tefillah works? And I think it's especially important when we're going through what we're going through now in Eretz Yisrael. You know, do you really believe your tefillahs make a difference? Do you really believe your tefillos make a difference? You know, you saw those pictures in Har Nof, right? Remember, Sam, I showed you the pictures in Har Nof,
yeah.
where they uncovered in a building site in Har Nof a whole stash of knives and cleavers axes. And hatchets, axes. And these were Arab workers who were working on that site who were planning an attack for the next day. But miraculously, it was uncovered. And it was covered. It was covered like in a tarp under some things, and somehow it was found.
Why is it just tefillah and not like your meisim too?
Because tefillah has a special koach in terms of being mevakish from Hashem. Your meisim have a difference, but your meisim might have a different type of a difference. Meaning you could be mispelled that they should be safe. If lemaisa, you know, we would increase our meisim and we would all be together, it would be a different, meaning there wouldn't be attacks, b'chlal. You know, Klal Yisrael is untouchable under those circumstances. That's a different
time. Yeah, it seems like rather than address the problem...
Right, to the root. No, enough inami. But lemaisa, there are Arabs trying to kill us all the time. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, so we have to be mispiled that we have to be safe.
But why do the Arabs have the ability to harm us? If we were doing what we should be doing, the Arabs couldn't touch us.
Enough inami. Correct. No question about it. But the question is, what can you make a difference in? You can make a difference yourself, and you can try and bring a whole movement and change in terms of Midos Tovos, and that everyone should, you know, the OU, some Jewish organizations, calling for a Shabbos of Unity. Shabbos of Unity, the Shabbos. Thus means Shabbos of Unity. They don't know either. They just sent out a press release. No, they're just saying they don't know what it means. What does it mean, a Shabbos of Unity?
Sounds good.
So, right, sounds nice. I was going to call the conservative rabbi tomorrow morning, see if we could get together, maybe do some Tehillim in the park on Shabbos afternoon or something like that. And if he wants to reach out to the woman rabbi in Shari Shalom, I won't object. But I'm not reaching out to the woman rabbi in Shari Shalom Beshita. When the conservative rabbi retires and his assistant woman rabbi takes over, then I'm really gahak to tzaris. I think for Shabbos of Unity, I'm going to call Rabbi Malik tomorrow morning. You know, I understand if he won't want to come into our shul, maybe 12 o'clock tomorrow in the park across from the shul.
Shabbos
morning. Shabbos morning, we should come together, just say some psalms together. A Shabbos of Unity. Just bring Jews together. And his shul send an email. Shari would send an email. We'd send out an email, you know. And that, you know, we should come together as Jews. I think that's an idea of Shabbos, of unity. But in terms of tefillah, we know the Gemara tells us in numerous places the koach tefillah is the greatest force. It's greater than the individual ma'asim tovim of a person. And we know when tefillah is berabin, your tefillah even becomes more powerful. The tefillahs that you say take on a totally, totally different meaning. And I think that, of course, we could talk about tefillah. And as you said, Abby, I have. So what I want to do Thursday night, I want to start learning about tefillah. I want to learn Shmona Esrei together. There are a number of books. Rabbi Eli Mansour just came out with a book. He gave me a nice copy, which is very nice of him, which is some nice things. Personally, I also bought a different Hasidish Sefer, just came out recently on tefillah. But this is the book that I enjoy the most on tefillah, on Shmona Esrei. Nafshi Cholos Avasecha, that my soul is lovesick for you. And, you know, this is the basic Sefer that I'd like to learn. Over the next few months, it won't take us the whole year. But certainly, for the next few months, let's focus on understanding Shmona Esrei. Let's focus on deepening our understanding. I remember once answering the Amshin of a Rebbe about how to work on different midos, how to work on tefillah, how to work. He goes, the first step on working on anything in Avodas Hashem, is learning about it and learning it. He said, you want to work on Kas? You have to learn the Mamar Chazal on Kas. If you want to work on Taiva, you have to learn the dangers of Taiva. If you have to work, he said, you have to learn it first. So if we want to make Shmona Esrei more meaningful, if we want to make Shmona Esrei the experience that it's supposed to be, and what is it supposed to be, if you've ever read the book Jewish Meditation by Rav Aryeh Kaplan, you know, that Shemona Esrei was actually supposed to be when the Hasidim and Rishonim would spend an hour in davening. What were they doing? He said Shemona Esrei was basically meditation. That's why you'd either stand still or you'd slowly sway. You would slowly sway. But the wild, you know, all over the place, the Hasidim, that wasn't what tefillah was originally. Originally, it was a form of a meditation. That's how they would daven for an hour, right? In contemplating, they would get lost. That's what it means. The Gemara says that they would take an hour to get ready to go up, and after they finished, it would take them an hour to come down from tefillah. Right? Most of us, when we finish monastery, hour, our tefillin are off in 5 minutes, you know? We're ready to go when we finish monastery. It would take them an hour to come down from Shemona Esrei. So what I wanted to do is to start the godless of Shemona Esrei. And we're going to intersperse different mamarim in general of that he has here. He's, you know, right away that he quotes in Me'iri and Brachos that you can't compare the kavana that you require for Kriya Shema to the kavana you require for Shemona Esrei. He says Shemona Esrei, the Me'iri, one of the Rishonim, he says, you have to have a higher level of kavanah for Shemona Esrei than you do in Shema. And we know that halachically, the Gemara says, in the middle of Shemona Esrei, even if a kin asks how you are, you don't respond. In Kriya Shema, you would respond, unless it's, you know, sakonas nefashos for you not to respond. But in Shemona Esrei, you don't respond, but in Kriya Shema, you do. So it shows that there's a greater level of concentration necessary for Shemona Esrei than it is for Kriya Shema. What's important to know is what's the hakdama to Shemona Esrei? What's the hakdama to Shemona Esrei? The hakdama to Shemona Esrei is what? Geula. Smichas geula l'tfila. Both in Shacharis and in Maariv, we see there's something very important about smichas geula l'tfila. What's so significant? Why does the Gemara tell us Ezu ben olam habezeh somich geula l'tfila? Shacharis v'arvis. A person that has smichas geula l'tfila in Shacharis and Maariv, that person is a ben olam haba. Hope. What does that mean? What?
Hope.
Exactly. It's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly the point. The Talmid of the Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos and other point out the godless of smichas ke'ula tefila, and if you ever, again, if we ever actually look at the words that we're saying in Maariv, in Emuna, Emes ve'Emuna, right? The brachos of ge'ula in Maariv. Hashkivenu is ki ge'ula arichta. It's an extension. Do you see the words of Hashkivenu? We should be crying the words of Hashkivenu now with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Or the words of ge'ula that we say in Shacharis, Yedidim Hevarta, right? Vechasumayim Serem Echem Hem L'Rasal Zoshibcho Alvim. I mean, it's beautiful. The words are beautiful. When you say the idea, Tzuri Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezras Yisrael, Ufdechun Mecha Yudav Yisrael Goalenu. Do you realize what you're saying? Tzuri Yisrael, God of the Rock. You've been there to redeem us time and time again. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. You're the Redeemer of the Jewish people. And now I come to you. Meaning, smichas geula tefila is the perfect setup for Shemona Esrei. Because what does geula mean? What does geulas mitzray mean? That's the geula that we're talking about. Well, we've spoken about this, of course, very, very much when we came to Pesach. But what does Yetzias Mitzrayim teach us? Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us that everything is in God's hands. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us. Everything is in God's hands. The lesson of the Makos, right? That they'll know that I am Hashem, Ba'aretz, in Shemayim, and Ein Kamoni, right? Meaning each level of the Makos, the Tzach, Hadash, Ba'achav, each one first introduced Hashem, I'm Beker Ba'aretz, and there are no other powers like me, right? So the Makos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why, by the way, if you've ever noticed, in the Brachos of Geula, both at Maariv and in Shacharis, we stress Kriyas Yamsuf also. Because what happened to Kriyas Yamsuf? Zekeli v'anvehu. That's where Klal Yisrael saw God. So everything was biyad Hashem. Rasa shivchala ma'ala ra yechezkel v'mbuzi. So this is showing us that when we really think about Geula, if you're able to be awake for the Geula in Shacharis, and the Geula in Maariv, really understanding what it means, you should be jumping, chomping at the bit to say Shemona Esrei. for whatever it is that we want. All geula is b'yad Hashem. Meaning, mitzar l'rvacha, me'afelu l'or, m'shibud l'geula. Right? The lashonos of geula that we use on Seder night in the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu for the second kos of the Arba Kosos. That's why they say, you know who's a ben olam haba? Someone who's so mechkul l'tfila shachris v'arvis. Because it means at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, your bookends of your day are understanding that everything is b'yad Hashem. Everything is ultimately b'yad Hashem. And that's the hakara. That's the recognition you have to have when you get ready to daven. Whatever it is, the famous story of Moshe Wolfson points out, is something that I like to say that... One time, the Ma'ari Naim, the Chernobyler, his Hasidim heard him that when he was getting older, he was davening, he would say things a little bit out loud. They heard him davening, he said, Eberster, please, don't let the maid leave. My wife really needs her help. Don't let the Goya leave. Don't let her quit. So they came up to the Ma'ari Naim and said, Rebbe, listen, it's a little bit chutzpahdik of us, but you know, we want to tell you, we like eavesdrop when you're davening, and you say it a little bit loud. Can we ask you, like, you daven that the maid shouldn't leave? That's what you were davening about, the great Ma'ari Naim? That's what you have to daven about? So he says, who else should I ask for that? Like, I don't understand the question. It's in the hands of Ribbono Shalom. It would be very hard for my wife if she quit. Whether or not she quits is up to the Ribbono Shalom. So of course I have to ask the Ribbono Shalom for it. You know, like people have asked me many times, Rabbi, can I daven for my sports team to win? You can. That's a pathetic tefillah, but you can, you know. I believe God does have something to say about that.
I thought he ignores that completely.
What?
I thought he ignores that completely.
It's a filter.
That's a Shitas HaRambam, not according to the Rambam. You know? The Jets only felt that they were God-forsaken for so many seasons. Maybe not anymore, Howard. We'll see. But this is something... By the way, you Patriots fan?
No.
Oh, okay.
Cowboys.
Cowboys, okay, right. All right. So you could sit next to Howard if you were a Patriots fan. He's from Connecticut. You know, I was nervous, Howard. You have to separate you guys.
Yeah.
But,
we'll figure this out later.
But Lamaisa, this is something that if you want to make tefillah more meaningful, as Avshon Rebbe says, we have to learn it. We have to learn it. And so that's the first yisod. I apologize, it's late. I see. Well, I'm now. But this is the first yisod of tefillah. To understand Shmon Esrei, you have to understand the prerequisite for Shmon Esrei. The prerequisite for Shmon Esrei and Shachris Arvis, why not Mincha? That's a good question. Why not Mincha? Mincha is a very different, the nature of Tefillah. So Mincha is very different. It's supposed to be the booster shot, according to some, believe it or not, between Shachris and Marv. That's what Mincha is supposed to be. It's the booster. That's why I hate davening. I hate it's very strong lashon. I really dislike davening Mincha Marv back to back. Like sometimes I have to do on weekdays. If I don't have to, I try not to. I find it very hard to daven Mincha and then to daven Marv like 10-15 minutes later. It's very hard. 5 minutes
later.
What?
5 minutes later sometimes.
Right. So yeah, sometimes.
They roll right into it.
It's insane.
Yeah. So it's for me, that's personally very hard. Like if you have even a Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos in between, you know, you go from week to Shabbos or from Chol Moed to, okay, but mamash, weekday. It's very hard for me. I try to push it off. But Shachris and Arvis, the idea is that when you recognize Hashem as the Goel, you recognize the Geulus that word, you recognize the Nisan and the Flos, you recognize what He did for us at Kriyas Yamsuf in Mitzrayim with all the Makos. As we said, it's the perfect setup for Shmon Esrei. The chance now, once again, to talk directly, to appeal directly to the Goel, to the one that has done everything, the one has demonstrated His love for you time and time again, the one who demonstrated that He's in control of everything, the one who demonstrated that He's willing to intercede. He's willing to intercede. How can you not pour everything you have into it? And that's just the beginning. That's just a prerequisite to understanding Shmon Esrei, is understanding Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. And Be'ezus Hashem will continue. We'll continue understanding more the godless Hashmon Esrei and Be'ezus Hashem, continuing Hashem Sosai Tiftach. What? What do you mean, the halachas?
16 years ago.